This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And a question for you, in the wake of Thanksgiving and in the run-up to Christmas with all those holiday parties, eating opportunities, things are busy, so maybe instead of preparing carefully a meal at home, you're taking out. Are you feeling perhaps a little bit toxic? Well, we may have the antidote for you today because we're going to talk to an expert. He's Jim LaValle. He's one of our perennial experts. He's one of those point-and-shoot guys who can weigh in on innumerable nutritional topics. He's going to talk about nutritional balance and why green drinks might provide a solution. Jim LaValle is a nationally recognized clinical pharmacist. He's an author. He's a board-certified clinical nutritionist. He's founder of Metabolic Code Enterprises. That's a web platform and practice solution enterprise. And he collaborates with industry and with educational outreach. He's got a great book. We've talked about it in the past, Your Blood Never Lies. It's the go-to book for interpreting your blood test. And he's also got a book called Cracking the Metabolic Code. Both are available at Amazon. Jim joins us today to discuss a great way to achieve optimal nutritional balance with a brand new product. Well, actually, it's a new iteration of a product that's been around, would you believe it, since the 1980s. Wow. Just like Duran Duran and The Clash. Okay. It takes us back a few years, doesn't it? Welcome, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing really good, and all of a sudden I'm having big flashbacks to the 80s and the 90s. Duran Duran. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I have to say that I missed the 80s because I was in med school. So all that cultural stuff that happened in the 80s, you know, the Talking Heads and Duran Duran, all those, all that stuff, I had to kind of rediscover after I emerged from the radio silence of med school and my internship training, because I was pretty socked in there in terms of leisure opportunities.
Yeah, pretty much a decade goes by.
Yeah, exactly.
Lost
decade for me. So a lot of caught up on 70s and 80s culture. So anyway, coming back to our topic, people are toxic this time of year. It's this nonstop potlatch that is inaugurated, I guess, Thanksgiving. And that probably ends around bowl time, maybe Super Bowl time. Who knows? It just keeps going on and on. And people are feeling kind of toxic and overburdened. Can you speak to that issue? What's going on when we put the feed bag on and ignore a healthy lifestyle?
Well, I think there's a couple things that are going on, especially during this time of year. You know, everybody starts getting stressed out because it's the holidays, and it's whether it's travel or, it's gifts or it's, employee parties or whatever it is that's going on. When you start to combine stress with putting on the feed bag, people start to drive a higher blood sugar, higher inflammatory response in your body, and that brings your metabolism goes to a screeching halt. I mean, you start to gain weight. Obviously, there's some basic things that happens, like your body gets more acidic because you're eating more starch, more carbohydrates, more sugars, because that's what holiday food is. I want stuffing, and I want the cranberry sauce, and I want the pumpkin pie, and don't forget the whipped cream. You eat more and more. And as you eat more and more of those types of foods, you start to shift your chemistry. And I think for a lot of people, just the act of trying to keep things in balance, because, you know, people get into holidays. A lot of times people, they gain weight every year. They gain weight in the holidays, and they take the rest of the year trying to fight to get back just to the weight they got to before the holiday. And it's starting to, you know, create better strategies that keep your metabolism in check.
Well, let me throw yet another log on the fire here, because the story just came out, and I'm pretty sure you saw it. It got a lot of play in the media. Headline, only 1 in 10 Americans eat enough fruits and vegetables, CDC study finds. They say, you know, the tagline here is only 12% meet the daily fruit recommendations and just 9%. You see, Americans like fruits better than vegetables. So 12%, that's pretty good. 12% right. Meet the daily fruit recommendations, but only 9% the vegetable recommendations. And unfortunately, people in poverty have especially low rates. Just the very same people who, you know, may be at higher risk of, you know, metabolic syndrome, cardiovascular disease, and all manner of health mayhem. Men, young adults, and people living in poverty all had especially low rates of fruit and vegetable intake. 15% of women eat the recommended amount of fruit, but just 9% of men do the same. So, you know, guys are lagging behind in the nutritional, in nutritional balance.
Well, yeah, and the big thing is the recommended amount isn't that much. So, you know, for us, you know, teaching them what we call, you know, the kind of the integrative medicine space or functional medicine space or whatever you want to call it, I would say the enlightened health space, we're telling people get 9 to 12 servings of vegetables and fruit a day, and I teach people 3 vegetables for every fruit. Try to make those fruits not dried. So don't chew on a bucket of raisins or dried cherries.
Oh, that's a big mistake, because I mean they're scrumptious, but it's just concentrated sweetness.
Well, and a lot of times they're even soaked in sugar.
Yeah,
when they concentrate them. Mm-hmm. So they have not only are the fruit itself very sweet when you concentrate it, but then they soak them in sugar or glucose syrup. And so you know, the big one is the minimum amount that they're saying on that study that was published really isn't even up to snuff for what the National Cancer Institute, for example, recommends. So you got the NIH saying, hey, 5-a-day rule, right? And people aren't even hitting the 5-a-day rule. But now what you see is the National Cancer Institute saying, you know what, 12 servings a day is what's needed, between 9 and 13 servings of vegetables and fruit a day. And so,
well, that's going to make it so that like 11 individuals in the United States comply with these recommendations.
Well, exactly. It's just like good. three weird people, you and me.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Well, yeah, right.
I might hit it.
I try to get pretty close, you know, yeah. On a good day, you're getting pretty close. But the reality is most people struggle to get enough vegetables. Now we've got this whole plethora of juicing that is supposed to be so good for people. Uh-huh. But when you really look at, you know, when I go into a grocery store now and I see a whole line of refrigerated juices and I turn them around and I see 80 grams of sugar, 30 grams of sugar. I had one bottle that was 88 grams of sugar in the container. That's the equivalent of 3 sodas. I mean, you know, I mean, sure, you're getting the phytonutrients and, you know, okay, I'll give you that. But just because it's green doesn't mean that it's a vegetable juice. It just means they put a little spinach in it. So I think one of the big issues that we continue to have is that in general, we eat too much sweet, whether it's from fruit juice origin or fruit origin or not. As Americans, and maybe it's because we're all stressed out and eating sweet and starch helps us to make serotonin and it'll help feel us comforted, you know, who knows? But the reality is people are just literally leaping towards this juicing culture, not realizing that they're drinking a lot of sugar. And they're not getting the greens that they really need. There's very few people that, you know, have you ever noticed? I mean, very few people pick a real green drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll,
yep.
You know, they'll get a, you know, hey, it's got apple juice in it. Cool. It's got pineapple juice in it. Great. Hey, then it's got spinach in it or kale. Oh, so it's green. Now I'll drink it. But mm-hmm.
These are the very self-same people who sometimes have serious blood sugar problems. And they cloak
exactly.
themselves in virtue because they're guzzling juice all day long.
Exactly.
But it's equivalent,
exactly.
You know, it's probably better than drinking soda. But, you know, in terms of the sugar content, in terms of the destabilizing effect on their blood sugar curve, and in terms of the pro-inflammatory effect and the pro-Candida effect, that's, you know, they're doing themselves a disservice.
It's honestly, it's not a health practice when you do that. So the big thing for me is you got to get greens in your diet. And why are greens so important? Because greens provide a lot of trace minerals. Greens help to alkalinize your body. I mean, and we all kind of learned that, you know, the rate of rusting in your body, it's important. Oxidative stress is the rate of rusting in your body. And then when your pH is low, so when you're acidic, as everybody hears about, oh, acidic is bad. When you're acidic, you're increasing your rate of rusting. So greens help to neutralize that. It's even if you remember, everybody's worried about high protein diets causing problems with kidneys. Then what they did was they studied people eating high protein diets and ate vegetables with it. And what they found was, oh my gosh, It neutralized all the effect.
Yes, it changes their net acidity, which is actually something that's measurable. So the culprit is not the protein, it's the imbalance of protein with a lot of sugar and refined carbohydrates and the absence of any fruits and vegetables that creates the acidity.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And pH balance, it's, you know, like I always tell people, look, it's just no different than a pool. You know, you go out, you check your pool. If you got a pool, you know, the pH is off, I'm going to grow bugs. The pH is off, I'm going to have scale. Right. Your body's no different. And I'll tell you, the what takes the brunt of it are things like your kidneys and your endothelium. They've actually even shown that when you have an acidic urine, you're going to be more prone to the progression of kidney damage as you age. And look, I mean, we've got a lot of people with, you know, chronic kidney disease and renal failure these days. And then the other thing they correlated it to is you could have metabolic syndrome and you could be on a blood pressure pill, a pill for your cholesterol, and a pill for your blood sugar. And if you don't correct for pH, you'll still progress for renal vascular disease and still progress your endothelium. So what that means to your listeners, your kidneys still get damaged. The inner linings of the arteries still get damaged. So you got to eat your vegetables. And if you're not going to eat your vegetables, think about how you can drink them to get the nutrients and trace minerals you need to keep that net pH corrected.
Now, for sake of argument, could you not just take a teaspoon or two of sodium bicarbonate? I mean, that's something that has an alkalinizing effect. Is that not equivalent to, you know, say you want to shortcut that? You say, okay, fine, I can't do that vegetable thing, but I can, you know, stir a teaspoon of bicarb into a glass and chug that.
Well, you know, they use that for kidney failure now. So if you talk to people that are in the know in renal disease, they'll give people sodium bicarbonate. But the problem with that is it's just sodium bicarb. You're not getting all of the trace minerals, or in the case of drinking a green drink, you can get, you know, glutathione, and you can get other nutrients and iodine that your body can use to keep it healthy. So yes, sodium bicarb is almost like a rescue, right? You think of it as a life preserver to try to get your pH corrected. But what you really want to do is not sink your ship to begin with. And so that's what greens will do for you.
Okay.
You know, that's why you want the greens.
Again, you know, the devil's advocate position. They got cheap products out there like, I don't know, V8, right? You know, V8, that's some mixture of a lot of vegetables, and so you can drink your vegetables, and would that work?
You're just beating me up today, Doc. I don't know.
I'm just going to throw you high hanging curveballs here for you to hit out of the park?
This is good stuff.
I'm trying to whiz some fastballs past you.
Let's be honest. Drinking a V8 is way better than going and buying one of those pressed juices. Mm-hmm. And drinking a V8 is way better than going and taking a Coca-Cola or a Mountain Dew, but there's still a way to improve it. So things like V8, for example, doesn't have as many of the greens in it traditionally. It's usually a lot more tomato based, right? So it's, you know, so you're wanting the greens because the greens have a much stronger trace mineral profile. The other piece is where possible, it should be organic. It could be non-GMO. Mm-hmm. those are other areas or facets that you could improve on drinking a V8. But if we're trying to teach people about a graded response, Monsters and Mountain Dews, let's call those at the lowest rung. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the fruit juices that are 50, 60, 70 grams of sugar. I'd call them the second lowest rung because, now all this evidence is coming out about taking in too much fructose.
Yeah.
That it really causes major problems with insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. So I really look at the juicing movement as a health hazard if it's inappropriately done. Mm. And that's why you want to try to get to, and then the third tier would be, hey, I think I'll have a V8. Now, but if you're really trying to do something that's convenient.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Excuse me, from what I understand, the V8 industry is sort of predicated on unsightly vegetables because, those beautiful, succulent-looking ripe tomatoes that sit on your grocery shelf, they're the ones that have been highly selected to appeal, to have eye appeal, and the stuff that doesn't look so good, that maybe is a little dented, a little bit, stunted,
diseased,
perhaps. let's lay it out there. That goes into the vat because you can camouflage a lot of defects by just mushing stuff up, and maybe putting a little red dye in it so it doesn't look like a brown slurry.
Well, yeah, and there are issues around it, right? So once again, we're going up the ladder, and so V8, while better than sodas and pure fruit juice, I think there's issues of it. Is it pesticide ridden or not? Because a lot of the produce that gets grown in our country has a lot of it.
Yeah.
And so is that an issue? Secondly, is what's the selection like? The third piece is how is it processed? So if you're doing like ultra pasteurization and steam sterilization, or heat sterilization in order to make things work, that's fine. But a lot of times you knock out the nutrients that are in it that are kind of those trace nutrients or micronutrients that we rely on from food. So enzymes, for example, right? Enzymes got to get knocked out. And so while I think V8 beats the lower two, I think I like freeze-dried, powderized greens, because the greens, that can be the base for getting the trace minerals you need in a healthy way, that you can plop them in a drink in the morning, you can put them in a bottle of water at lunch, makes it easy for you to balance your pH and get the trace minerals you need. And I don't know about you, Dr. Hoffman, have you ever had a wheatgrass shot?
What happens when I have that is I feel like I got punched in the stomach. I know it's supposed to be really good for me, but I get it's so concentrated, especially if it hits my stomach empty. It just makes my whole stomach clench.
Well, you know what? For me, like wheatgrass, it really gives me energy.
Okay.
So there's people that sometimes.
I feel good afterwards, but that's too concentrated for me.
That's interesting, and that's that thing of getting it concentrated and just extracted right there. That's why I like the powders, because the powders are a blend.
Well, the powders don't bother me. The powders don't, but there's something about freshly extracted wheatgrass. I know it's super healthy and it's like from the vibrant living plant, but it's just too strong for me. I don't tolerate it, and I got a good stomach.
I could more easily do a tequila shot than
do a wheatgrass. Right? Seriously. I don't know why.
Right. Maybe it's you need to do both together. Yeah. it'll be a whole new movement. You can blend the hedonic and healthy side. It'll be H&H living. I think that, for in general, why I like powdered product is that you can, it's very flexible. You can control the manufacturing of it. You can really get the quality dialed in on the greens.
Right.
And the other piece is, to your point, is it's better tolerated and better digested because it's kind of pre-broken down by the way it's powderized. Makes it easier for you to digest. There are some people, there's no doubt, that people drink, fresh green drinks and they go, oh man, my stomach feels sour. Mm-hmm. But the powderized reconstitute products, they tend to work way better. And I tell you, the big thing is it's quality, and it's about the consistency of the product. And I think there's a lot that people don't understand. It's just like you said, you don't know what's going into a traditional vegetable juice that you pull off a shelf. And it's understanding that everything you're putting in your body, if you're trying to do something like, I'm going to increase my vegetable intake or I'm going to increase my greens intake, do it with something that you know is going to be a benefit, not just, hey, I think this is good for me, so I'll do it.
Right. Which brings us back to the early 1980s when a legacy product was developed. And I remember it. I remember it because those are the days when I first got into this. And this is a product that, you know, they're probably 1/50th of the products that are now available in nutritionally oriented pharmacies and health food stores because the industry has really expanded. But a legacy product that was introduced, I guess, in early 1980s was something called Kyo Greens. So that's, from what I'm reading here, this is the product that you favor.
Well, there's a couple reasons why I think Kyo Greens is good. I mean, first of all, let's face it, it's been in the market for 30 years and they got their manufacturing down. I think it's interesting because they were ahead of the curve, right? Nobody was talking about green drinks in the 1980s. I mean, everybody was juicing fresh, right? But when you think of like what you said, now the shelf, there's a plethora of powdered green drinks.
Yes.
What's interesting about Kyo Greens, organically grown, and it's not just about how something's grown. I've had powdered green drinks where I put them in water and all I can think of is, oh, this is tough to get down. It's about getting it powderized correctly and mixing correctly so that it's palatable. And that takes a certain level of what I call pharmaceutical expertise and pharmaceutical elegance. It's taking, you know, nutrients and making them taste good. Because in the end, nobody's going to do anything unless it tastes good. So I'm a fan of Kyo Greens, mainly because they do the job on quality. It's in a GMP-certified facility. It's non-GMO. It's instantized. So when you put it in water, it dissolves very cleanly and quickly. And then it's got these great ingredients. So, you know, in addition to, you know, ingredients like wheatgrass, you know, chlorella and kelp are so important. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, people just don't get enough iodine. You look at Japanese women versus American women and incidence of breast cancer and a high correlation to iodine content in food.
And of course, thyroid function, big thing.
Absolutely. And then, of course, you know, chlorella is so important for detoxification, especially on persistent organic pollutants, which I think we have every big of a problem with organic pollutants, organopollutants, as we do with toxic metals, you know, and, you know, chlorella, you know, getting a little bit of chlorella in every day, helping to get the dioxins out and the PCBs out, as well as helping getting rid of the things like mercury and arsenic out of your body. Pretty important stuff that you try to do that on a daily basis. And you said it at the start, Dr. Hoffman. I mean, look, Americans simply don't get enough greens. And I'm convinced we're not going to start buying vegetables as easily as somebody could drink their greens. That's why I think it's important we talk about quality products. And, you know, I'm a fan of Kyo Greens. There's no doubt about it, because they're so committed to that excellence. And I think it's a good, you know, everybody talks about biohacks these days, right? Everything's about hacking your chemistry. Yeah. I think green powders is a great way to hack an otherwise unhealthy chemistry due to lifestyle that most people live.
Okay. Well, on that note, let's pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. We've laid the groundwork for a discussion of green drinks and, in particular, the various Kyo Green blends that are now available as a result of a product relaunch. We're talking now, this is over 35 years later from the inception. New versions of these products are now being launched this fall. And our guest is telling us all about it. So, Jim, we'll pause. And when we return, more of this week's Intelligent Medicine Podcast.